Hebrews chapter 4. This is the fourth, if I can get through it, the final message in this series on the eyes of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder, soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And then it goes on, tells us to come boldly under the throne of grace because of the sacrifice of our great high priest who knows what it's like. Okay? It says, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace.
Amen.
With that, tonight we're going to see that the eyes of the Lord sees our words.
Amen.
Our words. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 15. You're going to put a marker there because we're going to come back to that, go over some things there. But I'm going to jump from Proverbs 15 over to Ephesians 4, and then we'll go back to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. My wife reminds me of this verse continually. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. See, God sees it all. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. The Lord sees our words. See, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And then we're going to look at multiple things on words in that. But I want you to jump over to Ephesians chapter 4, because we're going to be looking at a lot of verses quickly in Proverbs. Okay? But in Ephesians chapter 4, we have this reminder, and it struggles. Because you know what one of the biggest problems Christian people have? Critical spirit, talking about other people. You know, scribes and the Pharisees, I thank God that I am not as other men. All right? You know what I've had to learn through the years? You don't know where someone else is until you, it's like the old saying, until you walk a mile in their moccasins. Okay, you don't know what's going on there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Let me jump above that. Okay, let me see here. That you put off concerning, verse 22, the former conversation, manner of life of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away what? Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. How many times do we lie inconvenient so we don't have to talk about more? Is there a problem between you and me, brother? No, we're good. It's face to face. All right? Speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And we're going to see a little bit about that wrath later on here, right? When you don't, okay, and you let the sun go down, it says, neither give place to the what? I think the devil works more in Christians' lives than he does in the lost because they're already lost. Their flesh will get them. All right? Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands that thing which is good, and that he may have to give him to him that needeth. Look at this next verse in verse 30. Ugh. Let no corrupt what?
Communication.
Proceed out of your pie hole. That's what I like to put in it, okay. Out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. I'm sorry, but that saying came from my dad. He'd go, boy, you're not the adult. When I'm talking to you, shut your pie hole. Yes, sir. I was bigger than him. And he'd say, I don't care. You'll go to sleep sometime, and you're not bigger than the 2x4 I will use to help you respect me, okay? That's how that works. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of building up. That's what edify means, okay? That it may minister what? Taste your words. Minister grace to the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are... See, it's talking to Christians. You are sealed. You can't lose your salvation, but you can grieve Christ within you. With what? Your words. Your words. Out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with what? And be ye what? That's not just to them in front of them. It's in your attitude. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I offend people all the time. I don't mean to. I do a lot of counseling. I'm a very direct counselor. Okay? It can be painful at times as we look through to find what the real problem is. Not all the skins of the onion, but the center of the onion. And so I have to peel that back sometimes, and it hurts. But it shouldn't be that they dislike me. The hurt should be that we're trying to heal. Okay, so evil communications corrupt good manners. That's a New Testament passage. I'm going to be looking at a lot in Proverbs. You can't say, well, that's Old Testament. No, this is New Testament. By your words you are condemned, Matthew, right? By your words you're condemned, and by your words you're justified. Don't know where that is? Don't ask Pastor Kenny. He can hardly talk. Look it up yourself. Amen? Okay, back to Proverbs 15. I just find it interesting, the last thing that we went to look at this with and the one God dealt with me about, I'm having to learn continually. Because you know what happens, you get older? Did you say you die?
Forget.
Oh.
You die too.
Yeah. You forget. You also have a tendency sometimes, I have to be careful, we tease about it, but Walter's sweet grandpa, and I'm grumpy grandpa.
Amen.
We were playing a game about knowing your family, and of course, it zinged me, but I had to think about this. It's not so much with Derek, it's Sammy. Sammy has an imagination. I've always struggled with an imagination, and when you see something that bugs you, because... I'm a kook. He's the most kook in our family besides me. So you know what you don't like? You don't like seeing yourself in other people many times, right? So then Walter had to describe someone in the family. And he got up and he went, Michael and Aaron, in unison, very quickly said, Dad! I don't want to be known that way. I'm sorry. I have to fight that. But Proverbs chapter 15, look at this. Verse 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. That doesn't give you that harsh mentality. Right? Soft answer turneth away wrath. I have to teach in premarital counseling. Men, you need to learn how to talk to your wives. I want you to understand it. You do. Because when you talk to them in this manner, you are yelling at them. That's not any louder than what I was already talking. They read your attitude. They read your language. They read your body language. They read you clipping their words. And now something's wrong with them. Because you've pointed out that there's an issue. And women believe, they don't want to necessarily look at the primary issue because they're relational. It's what's wrong between us. A soft answer turneth away wrath. I use an example all the time. We have used to have a dog, Jojo, loving dog, very loving dog, not the smartest dog in the world. And I'd call him into the office at home and I'd do premarital counseling or marriage counseling. And I'd say, I want you to understand how this works. And I've used this as an illustration in the church before. I've said, I look at the dog and I go, Jojo, I love you. You are the nicest dog I've ever seen. And the dog curls up, turns around, looks at me, wants to know if he can get to the door. And then I look at the dog and I go, Jojo, I can't stand you. I'm going to put a 22 in your ear and pull the trigger. What do you think, buddy? He loves me. You can defuse an argument, a problem in your marriage or with your children by talking softly. Not my words. A soft answer does what? That's God's words. If you don't like that, don't argue with me. Argue with the author of the book. Okay? I have to learn it day by day. I pray God help me to remember to learn day by day. Okay? But it says grievous words do what? You have words in your home between you and your spouse about other things, and your children hear it, it will affect them. Words that my mother and father had when they came apart, when my father left my mother, affected all of my adult sisters. Grievous words stir up what? See, in the context, it says the eyes of the Lord, verse 3, are in every place beholding the what? Evil and the good. Be careful how you speak. Be careful of your body language. Be careful of the tone of your voice. A soft answer is compared against grievous words. Okay? Verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge what? But the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Tongue of the wise, mouth of fools. Verse 4. A wholesome tongue. What does it mean to be wholesome? Isn't that comforting? You want a home that when people come in, they just feel it's wholesome. Okay? A wholesome tongue is a what? It helps life to grow. But perverseness therein, in the tongue, that's the context, is a what? You want to take somebody down? Words do it so fast. Words do it so fast. You still with me? A fool despises his father's instruction. How does he give instruction? By what he says and by what he does. My father used to say, boy, do as I say, not as I do, because he couldn't get victory over certain things in his life. Then he heard me preach and talked about the drunken lawyer whose little boy used to follow him. And in a snowstorm, a little boy went out to follow the father. And the little boy was found walking like this. And the father turned around and said, what are you doing? That's stupid. And he says, Daddy, I'm just trying to walk in your footsteps. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is, he'll not depart from it. Wholesome tongue, perverse tongue. Lips of the wise, knowledge, the heart of the foolish. doesn't end with it, does it? The sacrifice of the wicked is an a what? That means God hates it. But the prayer of the is his delight. Can't be upright if you're not saved to start, because you have no righteousness in and of yourself. And then as you try to be, the Apostle Paul said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. You still with me? Okay. Now, I'm going to ask some people, ready? I want you to do Proverbs 13:3. Pastor Kevin, would you do Proverbs 15, 23, and 28? John Wall, would you read Proverbs 25, 11? Stephen Kyle, you willing?
Yep.
Would you read Proverbs 21 and 24? After Proverbs 16, 21 and 24. Derek, Proverbs 17, 27. Javier, Proverbs 10, 30, 19 and 32. Ben, Proverbs 18, 4 and 21. Okay, let me see. You got no voice. I don't want it. You're fine. Okay. Proverbs 21:23. Okay. Who else is willing to read for me? Michael, Proverbs 29:11. One more. Mike Lang, Proverbs 17:28. And then I'll finish up. You ready? Think about these in relationship to words. Proverbs 13:3.
He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction.
Proverbs 15:23 and 28.
A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? 28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things.
Proverbs 25:11.
A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver.
Proverbs 16:21 and 24.
The wise heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. 24. Pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones.
Proverbs 17:27. Proverbs 10:19 and 32.
In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness.
Proverbs 18:4 and 21. Proverbs 21:23.
Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles.
Proverbs 29:11.
A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards.
Proverbs 17:28.
Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding.
You see how many, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. In one book, God is talking about the power and the damage of our words.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen? Proverbs 22. Verse 10 says, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Be careful about those scornful words about others. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of what?
Transgressor.
Go to James chapter 1 and we'll finish. James chapter 1. I like the beginning of it because I'm called beloved. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. God sees our words. All God's people said?
Amen.
Good night and God bless. You're out of here before 8:30.